Opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
And we're back.
Patch Creighton and Jason Bradigan for Fred and A.J.
The Twitch is starting to spin a little bit now, so having fun on that. Head on over, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll comment on that. And yes, I did do a Jar Jar Binks impression.
So Lamont calling you on the shenanigans.
All right. So Lamont says, I'm a rich because I live in the Woodlands, and then you live in Cinco Ranch/Katy. I'm a renter. If you rent, you're not a rich. Listen.
You're renting in the high rent district.
No. I've got the D.L. Hughley credit report to where collectors call me and say, we're going to put this on your credit report. I'm like, there's no more room. What are you going to do, staple some on it?
If you were poor, you wouldn't live in the Woodlands. You'd live in Spring.
I don't know. If I was single, I would probably live in the worst neighborhood possible because you don't have to worry about
you get jacked at night. I'd be like,
no, just because it'd be so cheap. It's like, rent. Like, you've seen those signs on those apartments where there's like bodies outlined out front, like pay $99 and your first 6 months are free. I'm like, that's a pretty good deal.
Dude, if I was single, I'd probably have an apartment in River Oaks.
Where's River Oaks? I've heard of it. I just don't know where it's at.
Where a bunch of riches live up like Shepherd.
You'd have an apartment there?
Oh, yeah, I'd have an apartment.
If you were rich, why wouldn't you just buy a house?
Because it's just me. I don't want to clean a whole house.
You don't have to. You're rich. You get a maid.
Yeah, I'm not that rich.
And then you have sex with the maid. That's how it works. That's the whole point of getting the maid.
Yeah, you want to live in a decent area. That way, you know, when a female comes to your place, she's not going to be like, you know, do I need to wear Kevlar when I go there? Is my car going to be there when I come back out? You don't want to live in a dump.
Did you start watching? You know, I got to agree with Fred. You know, I told you, Fred's usually pretty right when it comes to movies and TVs. But I started watching that Mafia, the New York Mafia thing. I forced myself to watch the whole first episode, but it was tough. And I love everything Mafia, but it was a tough watch.
I haven't gotten to watch it yet. It will hopefully be on the weekend watching because tonight it's going to be Astros baseball. As soon as I get in, the game's going on, the grill's going on, and that's it. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't tweet me. I'm busy.
What's everybody else on Twitch, on Twitter, at PCrate1, at Aaron is Blitz, at Late Hitters on Twitter. You can also call and text the show, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Jason Braddock is back.
Yeah, I'm using it to build up the late hitters. I don't know how long I'm going to keep it around for, but I'm just using it to build up the late hitters. Reason I want to go towards it, when I had, I guess I still have it currently right now, but the Jason Braddock Twitter account, I built up doing NFL insider stuff, doing fantasy football. So it's a lot of different unique people. I want to streamline it, and that's why we started the late hitters, and I want to build that up so we can streamline it, similar to what we're doing with the Twitch stream. And you can get on there, twitch.tv/ESPN975. During the show, if you want to have conversations during the break, just jump in there as well, and we can comment back to you either via typing or just talking directly through here on the mics on the radio.
So as Jason, Lamont says, you know who else is renting? Tom Brady. Tom Brady is renting. He is not a Poe.
You don't just take two things and compare them and they make them apples to apple. Me and Tom Brady renting houses is not the same thing. Tom Brady's also married, right? I mean, you're not going to find Giselle at my house when you walk in the door.
That's why, like, if I was single, I would have an apartment. If I had a house, I'd have, like, five dogs.
Why?
Because I love dogs. And I would have dogs.
They're like dags.
There'd just be huge dogs everywhere in my
house. Oh, dogs.
Dogs. I would have huge dogs. Everyone in my neighborhood, nobody would want to come near my house. I would have every monster dog in the house.
The only dog I really would spend a lot of money on, and again, it would probably only be if I was single and I had, you know, my own place or whatever. those gray pit bulls, those gray pit babies with the blue eyes, most beautiful dog I've ever seen.
Like, I don't even, like, my dog right now is not big. This is the smallest dog I've ever owned.
Oh, so you would get a purse and put your dog in your purse and walk around?
No, hell no.
Get a Mets purse?
I am exactly the opposite.
Have your dog in there?
I want a dog I could ride into battle.
Interesting.
I want a giant Alaskan Malamute, which I wouldn't do down here because it's too damn hot. But a giant Alaskan Malamute, you could ride that thing into battle. But I would probably have 4 or 5 really large dogs,
and
I'd spend all my time
riding them,
playing with my dogs, playing ball, and ride. I would not have time for anybody because I would just be like work,
be banging your dogs,
and I would be like, you know, like you have the cat lady,
yeah.
I would be the dog guy.
Right. And that's not creepy at all.
No, but nobody would rob my house because nobody wants to rob the house to do with all the big dogs.
I told this story a while back. Aaron, were you producing when I told the story about the guy I was playing poker with out at one of the poker houses, and he had a steel leg, and he explained how he got the leg?
Yeah, the gator.
The alligator. You would totally be that guy. Again, if you ever missed it, this dude, asked
him. I'm saving my dog from the alligator.
No, that doesn't make sense. I don't get dog people. It's a dog. Like, I'm not jumping in the water to fight an alligator to save my dog. Soon as it hits the water, I'm like, damn, that was a damn good dog. And I'm Googling on my phone as I sit safely in the boat, dogs for sale.
You should probably never have a dog.
I second that.
You're jumping in the water too?
Hell yeah.
On Twitch.
The hell is wrong with you?
Fry Daddy said Rhodesian Ridgeback. They are beautiful dogs.
If
you've ever seen a Rhodie, they are beautiful freaking dogs. And they're big enough, people aren't coming to your house. No, nobody's going up.
I'm not coming to your house if you're riding your dogs anyway.
You got a Ridgeback. People are probably not coming to your house. You know, you get like a Neapolitan Mastiff, and the dog's like 6.5 feet tall.
See, y'all dog people, massive. Y'all name dogs that I've never even heard of.
Tibetan Mastiff?
They're hell
beautiful
is that?
Dogs. Just put it on the thing. Just
no,
put it in Tibetan
Mastiff. I'm not looking up
you
dogs
have a Google
I can
machine,
ride.
Like right in front of you.
He's got two of them. He's got a 10-inch one, and then he's got a 4-inch one.
See, this is what's wrong with the world. Y'all two are siding together that y'all would jump in the water to save a dog from an alligator, and that
you'd probably let your kid get eaten by the alligator.
You
too.
Have no issue with him talking the whole segment about how he wants to get 5 dogs and ride them around the house. And that he wouldn't have time for anybody else because he'd be too busy playing with his dogs.
Comes from the guy who told us what he would take. I believe if you go in there, there's a little saved one from Trey. You know what I'm talking about. There's a saved audio clip of Jason telling you what he would take.
I'll have to look for that.
Drop that in there every now and then.
Uh-oh.
You want to talk about me and dogs, all right? You took the 5-letter P word.
Dude, you're talking about wearing a Mets thong and riding your dogs
Nobody
around the house and playing
Mets
with them.
Until
I thought
you
I heard
just
Mets
said
thong.
It right now.
I thought I heard Mets
yeah,
thong.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
I'm pretty
you're
sure. Paisley's, that up. Paisley's.
You just make it all Mets that up thong. Because you got mad that I brought up that thing about you saying you would take the 5-letter P word.
At least sanitize
as loud
first.
As possible.
Put some hand sanitizer. Rub the dog in that at least. Jeez.
You would be the worst dog person ever.
I have a dog.
You're still the worst dog person ever.
It's my daughter's dog.
And is it a dog or is it a rat with hair?
No, she's always loved pugs, so she's got a little pug.
So it's a rat with hair.
I guess. I
if it's not at least 35 pounds, it's not.
I don't know, but I mean, I like the little guy, but I'm telling you, if I'm like, hey, let's go fishing in the bayou, and I'm down there and the dog decides to jump into the water, I'm not resting a damn alligator for a dog. You know how much dogs look alike? I'll just go like, hey, do you have a dog that's about 15 months old that looks like this picture? And I'm going back home and taking my daughter.
Are you rescuing your kid if your kid gets in the water?
Oh, absolutely.
You'd rescue your child?
Yes, it's a child.
You wouldn't just go
try
to make another one looks just like it. No big deal.
I've done that. So that did not work out because that you have 18 years of child support.
Could always do it with somebody that you're not going to have to pay child support.
And then you'd have to have sex with the same person, have the same DNA, hope it comes out looking the same.
All right, so what's too worse to you, having sex with the same person or not having sex?
That's a tough one.
I would take having sex with the same person over, you know, being celibate every single day of the week.
Does yourself count as the same person?
I guess yourself would count as the same person.
I'm going to go with myself.
If it was just you, nobody else, it was always just self-loving.
Nobody knows Jason like Jason. I'm pretty damn good. I compliment myself quite often.
Somebody's got to.
Fair enough.
Always got to be that one person that's going to. It's funny that we're talking about, you know, you and how much you would enjoy pleasuring yourself.
Nice.
Apparently, an unnamed player believes that the one thing that will take down the Major League Baseball season is horny dudes on the road.
I mean, isn't that everything that is taken down? Like, I'm pretty sure if we go back and check the Genghis Khan dynasty, it's probably brought down by women. All throughout history, everything is brought down by women because as men, like women can have basically any dude they want for the most part, right? Like I literally started watching The Witcher, right? This bitch has a humpback and she's in there banging old boy. And I'm like, wait a second. The humpback is getting banged.
If you have an opening and a pulse, there is someone that will do it with you.
I mean, I'm not surprised by this. Yes,
pulse might be optional.
As men, we will risk everything for the cookie.
Now, it's only a 2-month season, and a road trip can't be more than, what, a week?
Right. I can't do it.
But
be like Josh Hartnett in 40 days and 40 nights, shaking, like you're on coke habit.
But they think that one player who was on a playoff team last year said that he's worried about guys can't control it just for a week.
Hey.
Man, if you're a guy who's on a playoff team or a potential playoff team and you're willing to blow the playoffs for one night of booty, I'd trade you.
Glass houses.
Trade like crazy.
I just put two on and a rubber band just to make sure.
All right, coming up next, Patrick Mahomes did not know that this part of his contract was even feasible. But now Deshaun Watson does. Next.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Patrick Brayton and Jason Braddock in for Fred and A.J.
Nice.
Every time I do that, I feel like I have to, like, turn the turntable down from 78 to 33 and a third in order to. And we're back on The Blitz to get Fred's meter.
Yeah, Fred's got that old school, like, classic rejoining when he comes back. Everybody does it a little bit different. Before The Blitz, I think you get Josh Ennis. Josh, I noticed at 790, I think he still does it. He just starts back with the conversation. You know what I mean? He just picks right back up where he started off at. Fred's more, and we're back.
See, Josh
on
is
The Blitz.
100 miles an hour
at
max volume.
I'm pretty sure Josh doesn't have blood, but instead his blood type is cocaine. Because, I mean, he's just max energy, excitement, full. Josh can talk about clipping coupons and make it sound fun. You know,
like, as long as he can work like
$2 off, like today, $2 off, wear your 80s punker band. And you, I mean, it's just
as long as he can work in Sammy Hagar or Loverboy into cutting the coupons.
Yes.
He's good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, Crystal, 420 is not legal in South Carolina. I'm just waiting for that. There's two things that I think is past
Josh
outdated.
Is the president of the Mike Reno fan club.
I don't know who Mike Reno is.
He's the lead singer for Loverboy.
Oh, see, you know I don't know any rock and roll stuff. Like, I would be your worst co-host on a rock and roll trivia game show. Aaron and you could probably do well. You and Josh would probably do well. I would get nothing unless it was in a movie. If the song's in a movie, especially country music for some reason, country music I don't like, but then in a movie, country music seems so much more...
worse.
Oh, wow. There's that New Yorker. Okay.
Honestly, we didn't have a country station in New York when I was... we didn't have one. There was no FM country station.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I moved down here that I got like a full blast country music experience.
Right.
And I would love to get the 20 minutes of my life back.
Oh, wow. Now, I grew up in South Carolina. My parents were country fans. My brother was. I hated it. The whole time growing up, I hated it. A couple years ago, one of the guys working with me put me on to George Strait, and I'm like, hey, man, this is actually pretty good. So I'm real picky with it, but man, he played. I was like, all right, well, give me 5 George Strait songs that will convert me from somebody who hates country music. I listened to him like, hey, man, this dude's got some talent. Like, you can, even though I'm not a fan of the country music, I can recognize the talent. You understand?
No, and I don't have an argument with that. I think that there are very talented people. It's just, it's not my kind of music. I almost feel like 80% of country music is, my girl left me, my dog ran away, my pickup truck broke, somebody buy me a beer.
Let's see, I think that's the low-hanging fruit that we could pick on it with, but you could do that with any type of source of music. I mean, there's a type of subject matter they go for. Like when people used to dog me back in the 90s for loving rap, you know, it's like, oh, all rap talks about is banging women and selling drugs. And I'm like, there's a lot of songs about that. You know what I mean? True, but it's very entertaining.
We had a long time ago, I was on a road trip calling games in college.
Right.
And one of the guys on the road trip was really into rap. And so it was his turn. Like every hour, somebody else got to take over the playlist. So he plays his thing. Every song, and I'm not saying every rap song, but just on this guy's particular playlist, every song sounded identical.
Don't be that guy.
And like every song was basically built around the words bitch, ass, and F.
You have
like those three words.
There's only 26 letters in the human alphabet.
That's like those three words made up half the lyrics of every song. And we're just making fun of them. Like, do any of your songs sound different? With all the rap music in the world, This is what you chose. You thought this would be entertaining.
Hey, maybe he likes bitches. I mean, you like what you like, I guess, right? So, I mean, that was his playlist. Your playlist probably
sounds...
Could you
imagine, like, your 5 favorite songs
sounded
exactly alike? Different artists, same beat, same lyrics, same style, same tone. I'd go crazy.
Well, I think if anybody listens, all right, so if I come from any genre, I listen to your genre, my hyperbole would probably lead me to say that same thing about country, about rock, about anybody else's genre, because I'm at 5,000 feet above talking about something I know nothing about. You understand? So, I mean, it's like me talking about rock and all rock and roll is just, I have no clue. Because I've probably listened to less than 0.01% of all the rock music through history. So, I mean, I don't have it. So, again, you pick up on the context clues of what you hear in a song and you build it into why that genre is not any good. So my thing is, if you like country, cool. If you like rock, whatever, and all that. For me, the only thing I could ever really get into was R&B and rap. And that's just what I enjoy.
Well, on the text line, somebody said R&B is about breaking up. I thought R&B was about having sex.
It depends which R&B. And I mean, so Boys to Men's R&B, right? Jodeci's R&B. There's two different things happening in those rooms. Boys to Men is going to be crying for this chick to come back to him. Jodeci is going to be crying for the next 3 chicks to come in the room so they can do some explicit stuff. And Tupac might appear at some point, pour some champagne on you and ask you, how do you want it? How does it feel?
So we got to throw a little Vanity 6 in there.
Who's Vanity 6? Like, you just say stuff. I feel like you just make up. Like, I think this is a segment you and Aaron do.
Like,
y'all just make up rock groups that doesn't exist.
They're not a rock group.
All right. Is it a magazine?
No.
I've seen Vanity 6 on the bookstore shelf.
They're all chicks, and they sing dirty-ass songs. like R&B style from the 80s.
Oh, you want dirty songs, then go listen to Akineli. Came out, I think, during my spring break in high school in the 90s.
Vanity 6 sings a song called Nasty Girl.
Akineli's song is called Put It In Your Mouth. That's the title of the song. I don't think it gets nastier than that.
Is that a chick?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well,
if you want a chick, you want Idina Howard.
I'm just telling you.
Freaking
you asked
me
who they
Freak
were,
like
and
me.
I'm telling you who they were. In the 80s, that was a very risque song.
Well, I think Idina also did I Got My T-Shirt and My Panties On. So, I mean, I again, the R&B, if you want to go that way sexually, the 90s got you covered.
Someone on the text line said Darius Rucker will convert anyone.
He's from University of South Carolina.
He's
so,
Hootie.
Yeah, I know who he is, but I mean, like, were the songs actually good, or was that just somebody's? Is that country? I didn't think that was country music.
No, he later became a country singer.
Oh.
Don't you remember him in the
prayers.
Burger King commercial with his cowboy getup on?
No, you know what I do remember from a Burger King commercial? When Burger King started selling, I think it was Burger King, they started selling chicken. And they had Mary J. During the break, go to YouTube and watch this video. They had Mary J. Blige sing one of the most soulful songs about chicken. And I'm like, no, you can't do this. In the 21st century, you can't do this. Like, got chicken. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
That sounds like stereotyping.
Right. And it's almost as bad as those old Popeye commercials. You don't remember the old Popeye? Go back to YouTube, and I think the lady who's still the Popeye spokesman now speaks completely different than what she used to speak like ten years ago.
The whole like Louisiana.
Oh. Ooh, baby, you want some of this Popeye chicken? And I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, you could tell, like, this lady doesn't talk like. And then a couple years later, it's like, oh, you're gonna love my smooth and southern chicken, and everything's completely different. I'm like, how the hell does this get out on the radio? On the TV.
Basically whitened.
Oh, no. She basically went back and reverted to who herself was. And at first, she was being the image that I guess they wanted her to portray, or she thought she needed to portray for. But it's night and day different. But nothing will make you crack up harder than watching Mary J. Blige doing a Burger King commercial about chicken. And singing about that, and people were so pissed off about it. I'm like, who are you going to be mad at? She decided to sing the chicken song at Burger King.
Yeah, B. Hannon, he mentioned a song by 36 Mafia. I can't say the name of it. Fred Davis once lost his job for saying that phrase, so I'm certainly not going to say that phrase. That would be bad. What's good is coming up next. We're talking hoops with our buddy Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk. Next.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Patch Creighton, Jason Braddock in for Fred and AJ on the Blitz. Joining us right now on the HRMP hotline. Covers the NBA for NBC Sports and Pro Basketball Talk. It's our buddy Kurt Heelan. Hey, Kurt, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's it going, everybody?
Hey, man. Just excited. We got baseball back a week from today. We're going to have the NBA back. And life is better than it was 2 weeks ago just because of that.
So, yeah, look, I watched. Look, I'm a Dodger fan, so I watched a little last night. It's the regular season, so this is my Dodgers' time to shine. You know, I've got to take advantage of this.
That is correct. Before the postseason starts, when they ruin everything. By the way, I started Kike Hernandez on my DraftKings daily, and he gave me like 33 points.
Yeah, he had a big night last night. I didn't, like I said, I only caught his homer. I didn't catch the rest of the night.
Hey, Kurt, you know, let's start with the Rockets since we're here in Houston. And, you know, Harden's been back for a while. Now Russ Westbrook's back in the fold. The Rockets are about as whole as they're going to be. You know, Bamute got back in. He'll probably be back on the floor in another day or so. Right now, what are the Rockets in your estimation as far as, you know, in relation to, you know, the other top teams? What are the Rockets?
You know, this is the $1 million. I think that they are like the hardest team to predict in the bubble, maybe them and the Sixers, in the terms that if you told me that they won a first-round series and pushed the, you know, Lakers or Clippers, whoever they got, to like seven games in the second round with their small ball attacking style because they're just pressure and everybody's playing well, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that happening. And if you told me they got bounced in the first round by you know, Denver or whomever, I'd be like, yeah, that could happen too. Like, nothing really would surprise me with this team. I'm not totally sure what to expect from them. So it's going to be interesting. I think that this is, like I said, I think that their experiment of what they want to do and how they want to do it, it's the it's taking the best advantage of the talent they have. It's going to be challenging for teams to stop, at least in the regular season games. I just fear over seven games, teams will kind of figure out how to beat them. But we'll see. I'm not sold that they're that good, but I just don't know what to think of this team.
A lot of people are going to look at the Bucks as the team out the East. I really like the Celtics and the way they defend them. You talk about the Rockets, but if the Rockets are able to get to the finals, looking at those teams at the East, who do you think's the best to represent the East and has, you know, probably the most undertold story was how teams defended Giannis in the playoffs last year and how his lack of a outside perimeter game really came into effect the Bucks. Do you see the Celtics as the team to beat in the East, or is it still the Bucks?
I still think it's the Bucks. Look, I still think they have the best defense in the NBA by a mile. Backing off Giannis, everybody does that during the regular season. It's modestly effective. It's just better when good teams, you know, when Boston does it, it works better because Boston's a very good defensive team. Same with Toronto, and I think it gets more interesting deeper in the playoffs. But that is the big question with the Bucks, right? It's not do they have the talent. It's that when Plan A didn't work last year, and this is what happens to every team in the playoffs, especially as you get deeper. Plan A doesn't work anymore. We can, you know, look, teams can game to make life very difficult for James Harden. He's going to get his, but you can make him a little less efficient. You can make it difficult for him to get into what he wants to do. And especially good teams with more, you know, length and perimeter defenders, how do you counter that, right? The Bucks didn't really have a good plan B last year, and they were only playing, I mean, I forget what it was now, but Giannis played not enough minutes. It was like less than 40. I'm like, why? I get it during the regular season, you don't need to play him more than 31 or something, but if you've got Giannis in his prime, man, you better be roll him out there for 43 minutes a night. Like, what's holding you back? I think that's my question with the Bucks. It's not do they have the pieces to kind of put this together and figure it out. It's more will they. Yeah, people are going to go under on the jumper, but there are counters to that beyond him just making some shots and he's become a better outside shooter. We'll see if they really adapt and adjust this year as a team or whether they're a little too rigid.
Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports Pro Basketball Talk with us on the HRMP hotline. Kurt, you know, with as much spotlight as going to be on the Bucks as the top team in the East, and Giannis expected to be, you know, the back-to-back MVP, he's eligible for a Supermax extension this offseason.
Yep.
If the Bucks fail in the playoffs again, and by fail I mean don't get to the finals. I mean, they get to the finals, even if they don't win, if they get to the finals, I think it's a different story. But if they fail to get to the finals, does that hinder Milwaukee's ability to get him signed at that point? Could you see Giannis doing like LeBron and KD did with these one-in-one type contracts where they can void out the second year and get a whole new deal based on whatever the new cap is at that point in time? Could you see him doing that until he finds where he's happy?
My guess is no. My guess is this. He's going to sign the – well, let me rephrase that. Because of the coronavirus and the weird financial situation with the league, he may postpone it a year. And it might, it's not necessarily going to affect the numbers the way those contracts are set up, but he might put it off a year to put more pressure on the team, especially if they don't reach the finals. And it would open up, look, everybody would suddenly start to talk trade with them if they could. Ultimately, it's sort of like Oklahoma City with Durant, in the sense I don't think they can trade him. You don't get guys like this in Milwaukee. You can't afford to trade him. You got to find a way to keep him. My guess is he signs it, and there's beyond this. Look, I can give you 256 million reasons, give or take, he's going to sign that. But, you know, that Supermax, he can sign that, and in a couple years, if they're still struggling, push his way out. A la Anthony Davis, where he signed the deal and pushed his way out later. The other part of this, and I think it often gets overlooked with him, you know, when you talk about LeBron leaving, you know, he went to Miami to win, and then he went back home, right? Kawhi Leonard's been bouncing around. Kawhi Leonard ended up back home. Milwaukee's the only home Giannis has ever known in the United States. He has not lived and played in another's place. And it's also, when Bleacher Report did a great thing on his origins this week, you know, and his history and where he comes from. Milwaukee is the first place he and his family have felt secure and safe and welcomed in a lot of ways. And it is his home. And I think that they get a certain benefit of the doubt in that sense. So my guess is that he will sign eventually there anyway. And if they're still struggling and haven't won in a few years, that'll be different. But right now, I just don't see him leaving.
All right, Kurt, I want to ask you, going back to the Rockets a little bit, if you will, give me a little leeway here to make a case of how this long layoff benefited the Rockets. And then feel free to shoot holes through it, agree with it, or, you know, just give us your take on it. This Rockets team at the start of this year, before the year started, they switched from Chris Paul to Russ Westbrook. That trade goes down. As the season goes along, they switch from Clint Capella to change their entire identity with Robert Covington and go small ball, and they make P.J. Tucker their center going forward. Then they add a guy like Jeff Green, who I think is going to play a pivotal role, and I would give him center minutes at that starter's spot and kick Tucker down to the four with Covington as a three, and those are your starters, so Eric Gordon goes back to six. During the entirety of this season, Harden was dealing with injury. Tucker was dealing with injury. Eric Gordon was dealing with injury. Russ Westbrook wouldn't play in the first or back end of back-to-backs all season long after the offseason surgery. Now, all of that stuff they've gone through, they've had 4 or 5 months to completely recuperate, come together, and in the middle of a season or towards the end of a season, build a continuity to this small ball lineup and know what it is. But let's also mention that this isn't the first we've seen of the Rockets in small ball. You go back to those Warriors playoff series, those last five on the court would typically be Harden and Paul and Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza. So we've seen it for a while. So it's something they've thought about for years before they finally implemented. And now the way this season laid out, they had 4 months to perfectly execute this plan instead of on the fly all these different changes. Your thoughts, Kurt?
Like I said, I think that this is a really interesting team for that reason. And I think the big one is you mentioned them getting healthy. Plus, the weight and load that Harden was carrying seemed to slow them down. They looked part of why I think they stumbled a little the last 4 or 5 games before the thing was somewhat just fatigue. I mean, they're asking a lot more of P.J. Tucker than they had in the past. Like, they're adding more minutes. And I think it was just starting to catch up with guys. I think that's what makes them fascinating. I think that this could come together in the best possible way. Is that good enough to beat? The problem with the Lakers and Clippers is that they're both good and athletic and big. They're
great
both
point.
Just big teams. And, you know, the old NBA adage is kind of, or basketball adage, I should say, is just tall and good beats small and good. Maybe that still holds, but I think the Rockets are the one team to potent, and I think this is what makes them fascinating. I don't know if they could beat those two teams, but I think that they could challenge them in a way that no other team really can. Because they can score, because they do something so radically different than what anybody else is doing. I, they are one of the, to me, they're one of the must-watch teams. I'm not totally sold like you. I'm just not as sold it's going to work as well.
Sure.
But I could be really wrong. Like I said, I just find this is one of the two teams I'm just not totally sure what's going to happen with them. And if this thing works and they take off, man, they're going to be not only fun to watch, just tough.
The follow-up with that, because you said one of two teams. I think that you mentioned earlier the 76ers were the other one. My thought on this, and you tell me if I'm looking at it the wrong way. Obviously, nobody's playing home and away games, but right. Technically, every game is on the road for these teams. And when you look at the 76ers, of all the teams, maybe out of all 22 teams, but at least out of all the playoff teams, there's nobody worse on the road than the 76ers. Does that come into play down there in the bubble in Orlando?
Their mental toughness is absolutely a question. And, for the record, they were 29-2 at home and 10-24 on the road. Like, it's a radical shift. And if you look at some of their players, there was more factors into this, but you look at their players, Joel Embiid's a guy who kind of uses the crowd to hype himself up, and there's no crowd. Like, right. how is all this going to play out? To me, they've been sleeping giants all season, though. We tend to forget. I mean, yes, they had Jimmy Butler, but they came four crazy Kawhi bounces off the rim.
Nice.
Being in the finals a year ago. This is a potentially good team. They're good defensively. Their offense hasn't clicked this year. They're finally making a smart move, moving Ben Simmons off the ball a little, using Shake Milton at the point, kind of running some different stuff. The starting five they're going to roll out there hasn't played 1 minute together this season. It's not just like they were kind of learning it as the season went along. They're learning it there, and I'm not, on paper, this looks really good. And we'll see how it shakes out. If it comes together, they're a serious threat to the Bucks. Like, if they can find some offense to go with that defense, they've got the elite player in Joel Embiid. I think you need to build some level of continuity with what you're doing over the course of a season to make it work. I think the Rockets have had enough time. They've kind of moved towards this small ball thing in a way that they've built up some of that continuity, and they had some time together. The Rockets are shaking it up and putting something completely new out there. And the 76ers, and I'm just not sure that flies in this environment. If they get, especially, we'll see who they match up with in the first round. If it's, the Indiana Pacers, that's one thing. But if they land somebody like Boston or Toronto in the first round,
especially with the Sabonis injury that we just found out about today, that would be a game changer.
Yeah, and we still don't know if Victor Oladipo is playing, but even without him, you're taking an all-star big, a guy who brings a lot of energy, 18.5 points, 12.5 rebounds, smart player within their system, defends well. It's hard to lose that kind of guy, especially off a Pacers team that's really built on being, the holding more than the sum of the parts. You take a key part out, and it's just not the same.
Kurt, who do you think we're going to be looking at when it comes time for the NBA Finals?
I am going with the Bucks out of the East. I think the Celtics have a shot at them, but I'm still going to take the Bucks. I think they're head and shoulders still better than everybody in the East. Not head and shoulders, but better than everybody in the East. I'm taking the Clippers out of the West, and that's another team that looks really good on paper. Haven't seen it. They were really good, 7-2, and really impressive after the All-Star break when they kind of got healthy, but they're back to this kind of situation now. I mean, personal stuff has Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley all out of the bubble. That said, what I like in teams in the playoffs is versatility and wing play, and they got that. I mean, they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They can beat you. This is a team that can beat you big. They can beat you playing small. They can beat you a lot of different ways when they're healthy. They've got a really smart coach. I just like the way they're put together. But they haven't. We haven't seen. I'm making a bet that Doc Rivers can pull something together that we just haven't seen enough of this year.
Kurt Helan, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports, with us on the HRMP Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Kurt, always a pleasure, my friend. We will catch up with you soon, buddy.
Take care, guys. Be safe.
All right, Kurt Helan, NBC Sports, Pro Basketball Talk, with us on the HRMP Hotline. Always learn new stuff every time we talk with Kurt. Always has great insight. Terrific follow if you are a Hoops fan. Coming up next, it's the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Patrick and Jason in for Fred and A.J. And it's time for the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
Aaron, we were debating this. You should have to sing
the
this.
Gem of the Day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
See, we got Jason to sing it anyway. I told him he should be the one to sing it and that he wanted to volunteer you. Yeah. But then he sang it anyway. So we kind of made out there. Our gem of the day comes to us from, well, the great state of Florida, courtesy of a South Carolina man.
Uh-oh.
49-year-old Robert Prevett busted at a resort in Key West, charged with burglary and voyeurism.
That sounds par for the course for South Carolina, man.
Apparently, he was on a business trip, heard two young women in the room next to him talking about going to the beach, and he slid a little camera underneath the door connects their room.
Don't do that.
And went all creepy McCreeper and started videoing the women as they were naked and putting on their bikinis and standing in front of the mirror and admiring each other.
Shame.
And one of the women who was coming out of the bathroom and was, of course, in her birthday suit, noticed this black tubish thing. Looked like it had a little camera on the end of it.
How much did he put under the door? Like, I mean, is he like sliding 6 feet of cable to get every angle?
Apparently, he was not very good with the stealthiness because, you know, if you're going to be a creepy McCreeper, you just like right to the edge of the door. You don't actually let it get out there. And the woman said she saw a long black cord with a camera on the end of it and yelled, "What is that? That's a bleeping camera."
Not wise, guys.
Well, they obviously, having seen it, they called 911, and the cops found Mr. Prevett. They told him, hey, they think they saw a camera. And he said, "No, you didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, we can get a warrant and search a room." Okay, it was a camera, and he copped to everything.
Wait a second. Now, as I think about this, so this dude, this has to be premeditated, right? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not just walking around with cyber camera cords.
So he admitted to doing this on the regular.
Okay. Yeah.
Everywhere he went.
Oh, what a creep.
He was and he was free on $30,000 bond. He will be arraigned next week on felony counts of burglary and voyeurism. I did not know voyeurism was a felony.
I mean, you think about it, man. You're really invading other people's privacy to the point. I mean, that can be life-altering for people.
Oh, I agree with you. I just didn't know it was a felony. Right. I'm not saying it shouldn't be a felony. I just didn't know it was a felony. When asked how many times he used his camera to spy on people, he could only say over 10 plus times over the last year, all over the country. So basically every month, the dude's on a trip and he's spying on women.
So these sound like business trips. I mean,
yes,
this guy,
business
so he's traveling with his job every month, and every month while he gets back to the hotel, all right, clock out, time to go see some naked women in the hotel room next door.
The arrest report identified his employer as,
oh no,
U.S. government. Oh,
wow. There it is right there. Okay, I was wondering how you're going to tie this up. The U.S. government.
To make things worse, not only does his LinkedIn profile say he's employed by a defense and space contractor headquartered in South Carolina, But it also says he served as an advancement coordinator with Boy Scouts of America. Just everything on here just goes from bad to worse.
Yeah, I mean,
can we get a death penalty on this guy?
You want a death penalty on everybody.
Death penalty.
A death penalty feels a little harsh.
No, I don't think so. I think this is absolutely appropriate.
He can have some jail time and let his celly videotape him doing something strange for a little bit of change, but death penalty?
Death penalty. Why should we pay to keep this pile of turds housed and fed?
Because you don't kill everybody.
Kill them! Just take those awful genes completely out of the gene pool. Kill him.
I think he got in trouble by
one small needle to the arm and boom, night.
You're going to kill half the population.
Thanos it. Fred always wants to Thanos it. Thanos it. Start with this guy.
I don't know. I'd probably say 90% of the people you want to give the death penalty to, I can't get there with
it. Aaron, you want to put him in jail or death penalty?
Put him in jail. He's going to get far worse treatment.
That is true.
You're weak. Yeah, we got to pay for that treatment.
No, yeah, but do you know how bad jail is?
Actually, in this case, Florida's got to pay for that treatment.
Man, if you go to jail just for the simplest thing, you go to jail for, fighting or a little bit of weed. Let's just throw that out as an example. I don't know why. And you go to jail for that. You're going to have to sit here forever, take these pictures, put on these clothes everybody's wore a million times, and now factor in that's during the pandemic and everything. Then they don't give you socks. I remember people being in there and telling me about this, that they don't give you socks. And there's dudes in there like wrapping toilet paper around their feet because you're so freezing, and grown men are all in there with their arms inside of their jumpsuits and all that, and you're all stacked on top of each other. The food is crap. It's freezing cold. Jail, isn't it?
Well, that is our Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And, of course, we appreciate our friends at Zadok Jewelers. And if you are going to be like our friend Tony Busby, who just proposed. She said yes. Tony Busby's getting married. If, you should probably go check out Zadok Jewelers. I bet you they've got something nice for your special lady. Coming up next, if this were up to me, I'm doing it, and I'm hoping I can keep doing it every single year.
Dog humping.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair.
ESPN 97.5.